Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our roundtable series, talking today about working with clients when they keep their finances or wish to keep their finances separate from one another. We've had a couple of these of late, and we just want to remind everybody about, whilst there are four different tactics and approaches to take that's different to the normal certainty approach, we strongly emphasize to stick with a certainty approach where people, even though people might be keeping their finances separate, it's really important we still need to think with a certainty approach. But let's get into those four core areas on this clip now. Advising those who keep their finances separate for whatever reason, and as I call it, advising the anonymous. Okay, and so this is the whole conversation today. You know, how do we comprehensively, and it is a comprehensively approach to advice. And so our objective is to be a comprehensive advisor, everything we do with certainty advice. This isn't transactional, although we'll talk about that in this next 20, 25 minutes, where we may need to do that. But this is, we're taking a comprehensive approach to advise those couples, sometimes even partners in businesses, but that's probably may need its own round table conversation, when they keep their finances separate. We've had a few of these recently where in our debriefing with some of you, we were talking about how did you go, and the conversation started up. Well, I was going to use the approach, but then they said right at the outset, we do everything separate, so we'd prefer not to meet together. And I guess I'll go straight to the chase. We keep to the certainty process. We may use some different questions, which I'll highlight today, but we try to keep to the certainty process. On one proviso is that the objectives long term are collaborative. And so if the objective of the business, or particularly usually of a couple, are collaborative, then we'd still stick to the certainty process. But let's get into that detail as we go. A key part of all this sort of study and working with these sort of type of people came from work I did 20 years ago now with Russ Allen Prince, a fairly prolific author from the States. And Russ came out with a number of pieces and did a number of bit of research. We worked with Russ in the early 2000s. But he came out with this model of nine personality types. And one of the fourth biggest type of this nine personality types is in fact what Russ calls the anonymous. And so Russ would say that, you know, nearly 10% of the people walking the earth when it comes to finances have a very strong anonymous approach, i.e. confidentiality is absolutely crucial. And sometimes even to the extent I keep my finances separate to my partner. So in some ways, having this technique up your sleeve and having a slightly different approach with these clients is crucial for every conversation we use, not just the occasional. And maybe there are more anonymous and those that keep this than we believe them to be. And so whilst confidentiality is crucial for every single client, it's like good health when I see a doctor, how we manage it and communicate it and contextualize it with clients of who are strongly in this nature is slightly different. And that's what this session is about today. So the first thing is what I call the anonymous questions. And so there are, and again, this is running straight off the Russ Allen Prince book thinking that he published some 20 years ago for those clients that where assets or finances need to be, well, have been kept separate, we have to make sure we're using, we think, the anonymous questions. And particularly if you work in a niche that may be more predominant for this, the anonymous questions, I think, are absolutely essential. There's also a fee ramification. And I think as Luke was saying, when things get tricky, our prices go up. And so we can't, based on precedence, we've got to have some sort of, again, consistent, specific, methodical approach to have how we have a slightly different approach to pricing. There's also a slightly different management approach, which we have to talk about. In particular, one of the core management tools that we use may need some tweaking. And then there's this fundamental, what happens when we don't have alignment? And so it's not only just not on alignment, I don't want to share assets or finances, I don't also align on some longer term objectives. And I think that's a slightly different approach we need to consider. Anyway, let's go through each one of these one by one. And so the first one I want to put out there is again, something we picked up nearly 20 years ago from Russ Allen Prince, which is fundamentally, as he calls it, the first of two of anonymous questions. is how important is the confidentiality of financial affairs? Now, whilst that might seem an absolute logical question, it's like a doctor saying, how well do you want to be? It's obvious for confidentiality is really important to all of us, but to certain types of clients, it is absolutely essential. And so the response to this is less about what they say, but how they say it. I'll say that again. The response to this question for when you do get someone that is confidentiality is a really core driver of why I want to keep my finances separate, how they respond to that is really essential. And then Prince also suggests that if you sense that confidentiality is a really significant driving, whilst it's a fundamental, it's a given, it's like, as I say, the surgeon's scalpel's got to be sharp, our approach has to be confidential in all matters. We then ask, Prince suggests, and I believe in it too, we then ask what he says is the trial balloon question, just to confirm exactly. We say something like, well, ensuring the confidentiality of all our clients' financial lives is essential and an important part of everything we do. But for you, we understand this is of paramount significance. Did I get that right? And so this trial balloon, after you believe they've answered fairly positively, a trial balloon just to confirm and puts them in this area. These people are confidential. These people we have to treat in really clear manner. Now, obviously, some clients are quite clear about this. They're quite upfront about this. And we've even seen examples where clients have been concerned when the advisory firm is using a cloud service that's in another country, or where they don't want to be communicated via email, which adds significant extra costs and significant extra management issues. But we think not making the assumption about the level of confidentiality and bringing some sort of consistent question potentially to every client, and then when we perceive it is of paramount significance, using a trial balloon just to confirm it is, we think, one of the really important added features and added ways of tactics when we're dealing with this sort of client.
It's always extra level of complexity, so we should be increasing our fees for sure.
And Jared's got a good point. Confidentiality is just another complexity. It's just another complexity. Identifying it and making sure that we're not making assumptions about it by introduction of the first anonymous question at the very least, and the second if you sense that this is going to be a driving paramount issue, because it does then going to have a fee response, and it's also have a management response specifically. Okay, so that's the first tactic we suggest to consider. The second one is obviously the fee. And so in the debrief document, and particularly one element of the debrief document, we think part E, well, this is obviously part six of the debrief when we're doing our pricing for this particular client. This part E and F, where we're coming down, and I've just blown it up here specifically. If we have to change our process because we have to now manage someone who's, depending upon the level of confidentiality, and as I think Luke was saying, if there's issues with asset being known or not known, or finances being known or not known, or salary being known or not known, if we have to change our processes, that's actually going to put this fee up. Also, if the client has a certain confidentiality, what we call personality, and that they are also therefore very, very constrained and very, very concerned about who gets their email and how many people in the firm knows their information and what are the clients you have in the firm that I don't want to make sure my information is not shared. I don't want to come to your seminars. I don't want to get... So we're also going to put the fees up in two areas. Either one of us is going to affect our process, or potentially because of their personality, and particularly we find these sometimes in regional towns where clients in the past have maybe gone to an accountant or an advisor outside of their town. We're actually maintaining those people inside, but also want to make sure we keep the confidentiality. It actually adds to the price.
Just that fact that, you know, if someone isn't wanting to involve their other partner, changing the process, and it does change our process, then I think that's really important to consider. And it's something that the client should consider too, because it absolutely does. So, yeah, really relevant.
Yeah, and I think there's the balance here is that whilst I understand your finances may be separate, are your objectives separate? Are you together enough that the things you want to provide for those important to you, the things you want to achieve in life, to travel together, to retire together, to provide for maybe joint children or broader children and a broader family, do you have some collaborative objectives? And if you do, then it's trying to get them as involved as possible, as important collaboratively, while still respecting the finances can be separate, but are the objectives separate? And so that's a really good point, Nicole. So that's the second point. Our price has to reflect the fact that we believe that this is going to be extra work on us. It can't be a standard precedent, in our opinion. How much we levy them up from zero to five, you know, that is, again, the artwork of the pricing. And if there's any questions about that, then let's get involved and help you with that. The third element in terms of how we, when we're treating these sort of clients, is how do we manage and engage them? And to a certain extent, apart from noting really clearly on a terms of engagement and an annual re-terms of engagement and really reminding them, if they are confidential or an anonymous type, how important it is, the confidentiality of our affairs and everything that we do, I probably wouldn't be stating it up front on the first section of the TOE each year, but I'd be, for anyone, if it is a confidential client, an anonymous client, where they're keeping things separate, I'd be reiterating in the second section of it TOE every year, in the approach section, where we're talking about how important it is for us to maintain this confidentiality of your affairs separately from one another. I'd be putting that in there. That'd be the only slight change I'd be making to a TOE. We don't think much would change, though, in a path, if we're managing clients to a path and what we hope to achieve this year, next year, what we have achieved. Because there's nothing really here we would say that's of the financial nature, the asset nature. It's simply what we're still trying to achieve and the things we're trying to do. But there is a change potentially in the advice map and how we manage the advice map. And the advice map, and we've seen this, we saw this several years ago with some of our clients who were dealing with this particular type of client. The slight changes they made in their advice map was that their ability to click on and click off certain sections based upon who they were showing it to. And so in things like assets or things like salaries or things like structures that they simply said, we don't want to get into the detail of that and we don't want to share that, they just close those off. And so this is there's again, very slight changes to the advice map, simply to make sure that you've got some parts of the advice map that are easily clickable on and off based upon what areas of people's financial life want to keep separate. The other management stuff is obviously, and again, it's extreme, where we have seen some clients, I don't want any emails. Some clients, I'm insisting that all my data is kept on an Australian-based server. They're bigger questions from a management perspective and confidentiality to determine, does that client still align with what we're trying to do? The fourth area and last area in this non-alignment is where we come down to what we call the four sectors. And sometimes clients will say, and we've seen this rarely, but it has happened, no, I don't want to share, I don't want to have an open, comprehensive conversation with my partner present. I don't want to talk about my longer term objectives with my partner present. You can talk to them about that separately to me. I want to keep everything, not only my finances, but also a discussion of my objectives. And that's where I've come down and say, are they really going to be a principal client? And so this is really, is this really an ideal client for us? Or are we going to treat them, which is, it's sort of a, it goes against this model in some way, because not sharing stuff about where they want to go is a complexity in itself. But in some ways, the decision we would be saying is that maybe we just need to treat this client as a specialist. We just do that client as an individual, knowing we can't probably provide the best interest for them from a collective perspective. Now, whilst they keep everything separate from a financial perspective and their aspiration perspective, they're almost like an individual client. They're not a comprehensive client willing to bring their other partner to the table. And that's the case, we'd probably treat them as a specialist client rather than a principal client.
Makes sense. And I guess you determine whether you want to go down the track of engaging with a client under that kind of specialist advice, or whether you don't.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't occur often, but when someone insists that I want you to do it this way, it's sort of like they're becoming the advisor and then asking us just to do a transaction, as compared to taking our advice. We truly think it's going to be in your best interest, if you love each other, you're connected to each other, in some ways even in business, to have some sort of collaborative conversation and a collaborative strategy that helps us both get there quicker. And probably going back in some ways to Naz's point real earlier on, that if we'd come together sooner, we would have got our objectives quicker. So this is a line where if the alignment of the objectives are also not going to be done collaboratively, then I'll probably treat the client as a black or a specialist client. Still obviously with respect, still obviously profitable for the firm, but it's not going to really truly, in our opinion, to be comprehensive. So there you have it. In summary, we stick to the process. And so we stick to the certainty of process. Why does it make sense for us to work together? What are the objectives you're still trying to achieve? Totally respect the fact that you want to keep your finances separate, but we still stick to the processes and everything we do. We don't need to get into the level of detail in some areas of the process because of the confidentiality, wanting to keep things separate, but it still means why we're going to work together is to help them both achieve things that are important to each other whilst respecting the complexities, and one of them just happens to be they're confidential. We don't assume, if you sense or have any inkling at all, that the confidentiality might be a key driver, We use some of those anonymous questions. We mark up the precedence fees. These people don't get charged the same as a base precedent fee because of the complexity associated with process. We may need to adjust our advice maps, and we may need to be continually asking ourselves, we are the advisory firm picking the advisory clients that fit the best interest model. Do these clients fit it? And that's what we do. Okay, so look, again, if you get these clients and want to have role play with the questions or the process or the pricing, let's put your hands up and support you with them. I think they're going to increase. I think we're going to see, particularly driven by those that have been burnt before and those in going through partnership number one, two, or three. And I also think we see, as you do more of the SME stuff, we see more to want to keep, obviously, the personal financials separate, but where's the line between the personal financials and the business financials? We tend to get a bit more of this confidentiality, importantly, particularly in some of the larger SME bases you might be working with, or SMEs with a larger number of directors. There you go. What do you think? Working with those clients that want to keep part of their life confidential from each other. Core to this is it is simply another complexity. But to ensure, without making assumptions, that you are dealing with someone that is confidentiality is paramount in their lives, we strongly recommend the anonymous questions we've just shared with you. Other things too is core that this being another complexity, we have to raise the fees, particularly in those areas where we may have to change our advice process, and or we have to manage the person in such a way, because that's just their personality. In everything they do, how they approach money and matters financial, they're going to be more expensive, have more complexity, trickier, I think, as Luke suggested in that hookup, to manage, so the fees should be higher. And the third thing is, there comes a point where the confidentiality might mean they're not going to be an ideal comprehensive client. They insist in certain ways to be treated and want to be managed for an advice that may not fit your process in your firm. We can't just place them as a transactional client or even a comprehensive client. And so we have to also be weighing that up with any complexity where it goes beyond the bounds of what you're willing to manage, no matter what the issue might be. And so we never want to lose control of that in terms of our ability to pick and work with those clients that follow our approach, whereas we adapt our approach to follow their desires. That's not the objective of any certainty advice. Anyway, I'd love to get your feedback on this as any of our sessions. And hopefully some of the points out of this may assist you when you meet clients and work with clients, which I think is going to be a slightly increasing trend on working with people that whilst they collaboratively planning together and want to have long-term objectives together, in the process, they want to keep their finances separate. Love to get your feedback. Cheers for now.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.